Mission Times tells us the Betisha Baal Chol Habayas Barishana Vashniya. The Baal Pot and Mikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And thus we know Tisha B'Av as a day of mourning for Chorban HaMikdash. And yet in the Kinos, we don't focus exclusively on Chorban HaMikdash. We also lament and cry for human tragedies. And not only in conjunction with the Chorban, but subsequent ones, the Crusades, the Gzeres Tach Vatat, Khmelnytsky massacre, the Holocaust, Ba'ola al Gabi Kulan. So perhaps Tisha B'Av has two foci, a primary one and a second one, in light of the principle that Rav Soloveitchik brought to the world's attention. That we say in the Kinos, and Rashi says in Divrei HaYomim, that we can't allocate another day on the calendar for national mourning. Everything has to be concentrated, everything has to be compressed into Tisha B'Av. So then we may that Tisha B'Av has a primary focus of Chorban HaMikdash and the secondary focus of the human tragedy. But let's take a deeper look and maybe see that there's a more correct pshat. Maki v'heim l'yishalamena, maki adam yumos. If a person kills an animal, it's classified as having damaged property, and he has to make financial restitution. But if a person kills another person, so then that's ritzicha, that's murder. That the person is liable for capital punishment. It's an aveira which is classified one of the three cardinal aveiras that a person has to incur martyrdom, yehoi val yavor, causes the shechina to leave the world. It's intuitive, but sometimes it's instructive to try to articulate what the underlying rationale is. Why is there such a difference between makei behema and makei adam? Maybe a person is just a more highly developed, more sophisticated animal. So, Rav Soloveitchik commented once in a drasha that what gives man his special status, and within that, what gives a Jew his extra special status is the Tzelem Elokim of a person, the Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokechem of a Jew. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has value, meaning, significance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. All wisdom, value, meaning, and significance, if real, are rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are derived from being connected to Him. So, let's try, to explore the implications of this teaching. Is there anyone in the world whom you feel a sense of awe and reverence for his wisdom and saintliness? Is there anyone in the world whom you love for his goodness, his kindness, his devotion? Is there anyone whom you admire and respect for his self-discipline and consistency? All of these exalted, noble qualities are rooted in the Tzelem Elokim of a person. The capacity, the potential for all these are rooted in the Tzelem Elokim, in the Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokechem of a person, of a Jew. When we zocha to see a tremendous Talmud Chacham, it's Baruch Shecholak Mi Chachmasal Li Yireyav. What makes that person so special is that he realized within himself the potential and has become a repository for Chachma Sol, for his, capital H, wisdom. Baruch Shacholek Mei Chachma Sol Yireyev. When we see kindness, Rachmanim, Vashanim, Gomer, Chasodim, where does that come from? V'olachta v'drochov, Mahu nikra rachum, afato heye rachum, Mahu nikra chanun, afato heye chanun. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as merciful and compassionate, so too you be merciful and compassionate. We love, we have a sense of awe, we revere, we cherish, we admire, we respect. In actuality, when we experience that range of feelings and emotions, we're really responding to the godliness within the person. The realization of the Tzalam Elokim, the realization of the potential of Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. But let's take this one step further, Rabbi Osai. Have you ever mourned, Rachmana Litzlan, for someone you loved, or revered, or respected, because of their goodness, wisdom, saintliness, or integrity? If so, and we all have, in actuality, you were mourning for that person because he actualized his Tzalam Elokim. Because he realized the potential inherent in Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. You mourned for the godliness of his character. You mourned for the Tzalam Elokim, which this person brought to life. The Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, which this person brought to life. My son-in-law recently called my attention to the fact that there's a remarkable halacha in Parak Aleph of Hilchos Avel in the Rambam. Earlier in the Yad, in Parak Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva, so the Rambam has a list of people who, Rachmana Litzlan, forfeit their chelik in Olam Haba. If you look in Parak Aleph of Hilchos Avel, the Rambam transposes that list, in effect, and says that such people, Minim, Apikorsim, Parish, Mudarakei Tzibur, the same people itemized in Hilchos Tshuva as having Rachmana Litzlan lost the Chelik in Olam Haba, Ein Misavlim Aleihem. There's no mourning for them. The source, the Rambam tells us, of a person's Nitzchius, of a person's eternity, is the Tzalam Elokim Sheva. And the Rambam tells us, and if, Rachmana Litzlan, a person ends up in the class of people who have no chelek la'olam haba, the Rambam therefore says, nichras berishal v'ovat kebehema. If the person, and at the end of one's life, there's no more potential. Either it's been actualized or not. If at the end of a person's life, he's forfeited that tzalam elokim, there's nothing to mourn for. He's Ovid Kebehema, and Ramela, the Rambam tells us that there's nothing to mourn for. When we mourn, it's because of that void, that loss of godliness in the world. It's that which commanded our love, our respect, our reverence, our awe. It was that within the person which elicited that range of reactions. Conversely, the antithesis of Avelus is Simcha. There's a very, very strange paradox associated with Simcha in the Torah. We think of Simcha most prominently in conjunction with the Shalosh Regalim. Each of the Shalosh Regalim, as you all know from the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, was also a Yom Hadin. The Pesach al-Atruah, and Batzeres Peros Ilan, and Bechag Nidon Al Hamoyim, each of the Shalosh Regalim was also a Yom Hadin. So how is that? When you step back for a moment and reflect, every day of Simcha in HaTorah is a Yom Hadin. It's not only the Yom Noroim, which are Yimei Hadin, but the Shalosh Regalim themselves, which represent the height, the summit of Simcha, are Yimei Hadin. So what's the relationship? Is it somehow that despite the din notwithstanding, was Sameach? So we say every day, in Sugi de Zimra, there's more than one pasuk to this effect, Oz Yirango Atze Hayor, Midefnei Hashem, Ki Valishbo de Saaretz. The simcha is not despite the din. The simcha is because of the din. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done, it means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets things straight through Din Shamayim, so it means that there's more godliness in the world. If the loss of godliness occasions avelus, so then the increase is a source of simcha. So perhaps the correct understanding is not that there are two foci within Eicha, within the Kinos, not that there are two different centers of gravity for Avelus today. In actuality, there's but one. We mourn the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the godliness which has been removed from the world ba'avonoseinu u'ba'avonos avoseinu harabim. His presence dwelt overtly in the Mikdash. His godliness, his Talmud Elokim, his Bar Matam Hashem Elokeichem, everything that can mean and everything that does mean was represented in the world by the Kilas HaKodesh Shenergu, by all the Jewish victims throughout the millennia. But let's try to go one step further. We're accustomed to thinking that with the exception of an elite few, that the rest of us don't know how to be mis'abel, how to mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. We never had it, we never knew it, so how can we possibly mourn its loss? But in light of what we've been discussing, maybe we're not so distant. And maybe the Beis HaMikdash isn't so remote, maybe we can relate to it. Ritzon Hashem is at the Beis HaMikdash. That physical stone structure serves as a conduit to induce his presence, to bring godliness into the world. That we relate to. We don't necessarily appreciate and recognize that fact, but that we relate to. We love, we feel a sense of awe, we respect, we cherish, we admire, and all those reactions, all those states of mind, all those feelings, all those emotions, we think that they're just simply interpersonal, but in reality, it's the Tzelem Elokim Shebo, it's the Bonim Atel Hashem Elokim Shebo, that person is brought to life, which we love and respect and admire and cherish and revere, and when Rachman Letzlan we lose it, and when we lose such an individual, we're Miss Abel. We know how to be Miss Abel. We are Miss Abel for the loss of godliness in the world. Perhaps that's a perspective on the famous Maimon Chazal of the Lamdacha Sheshkula Mrs. Tzadikim, the Chodin Beis HaMikdash. We simply need to understand that the Beis HaMikdash, as the conduit, as Rav Shapter spoke last night, as the conduit for Torah, for Nevuah, for Kedusha, the Beis HaMikdash brought into this world a godliness, Pi Shnayim, Pi Meya, Pi Aleph, Pi, I don't know how much, that which elicits very deep and profound grief and mourning. When we lose a microcosm of that in the form of a person, we're Miss Abel. How much more so do we have the capacity to be Miss Abel for the Beis HaMikdash? The first of the kinos sets the tone from the Beleza HaKalir, so many of the kinos are, sets the tone for many of the subsequent kinos in the sense that we reference and mourn for both Batei Mikdash. Not only the second Beis HaMikdash, which would seem to be that which is more immediately relevant to us. We don't have a Mikdash today because the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The first one was replaced. No, we mourn both Batei Mikdash. If you take a look, it's the third stanza. When Rabbi Elazar HaKelir references Al Pnei Pras Nuptzu Chasideha, that the devout ones were mutilated on the shores of Nahar Pras, so that's a reference to the self-inflicted mutilation of the Levium in the course of Churban Bayis Rishon, so that they wouldn't have to comply with Nebuchadnezzar's directive to celebrate, to play music and celebrate his victory and the destruction that he wrought. At the end of the fourth stanza, Tzag Ami Bimei Bendinai, that my people cried out in the days of Bendinai. Bendinai, that's a reference to something that happened in conjunction with the second Churban, when this Bendinai led an unsuccessful revolt, which was quashed so cruelly by the Romans. The Rambam, remarkably, is of the opinion that in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, we used to fast on Tisha B'Av. That the Klal Yisrael fasted on Tisha B'Av, be made by Yesheni. Even when we had by Yesheni, Chazal tells us that by Yesheni wasn't the equal of by Yisrishon. The Zakenim, those who remembered from 70 years earlier when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, saw what was missing. So they had very mixed emotions. They weren't just celebrating, they were crying as well. The void that we feel today, that we tried to talk about a little bit before, is not just because the second Beis HaMikdash is gone. Even if the second Beis HaMikdash would be here, some of that void would remain. It wasn't the same degree of Hasharas HaShechinah. The Divine Presence wasn't the same. It wasn't as much of a conduit for Kedusha and all else as Vayis Rishon had been. So our Avelus encompasses both Batei Mikdash. Two other themes which one finds again in this kina, which will subsequently reverberate in the first, in the first stanza, again playing off the pasuk in Megillas Eicha, Sakosa behuv legugi boroi. So you enveloped yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sukkah. You made yourself inaccessible, as it were, kabayoko. It was a time of hester upon him. The recognition of Hester Aster Panai Mehem is what materialized during the time of Churban. It was a time of Hester upon him when HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't respond to our tefillas in the Mela, all my mighty ones were defeated and were killed. And finally, just to comment on one last line, the last line of the second stanza, also v'nicham v'yikula b'chiyo. And Kodesh Baruch Hu kaviyachol doesn't want there to be a chorban. We forced his hand. Also v'nicham, simultaneously, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about the Chorban Nicham, Kaviyachol he regretted it, simultaneously. Also v'nicham, it's not a sequence, it's simultaneous. We, Kaviyachol, we force HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands through our Chaton. Also v'nicham, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Ayikul HaBechiya, he calls out that we should cry and mourn for the Chorban.
The alternative to